Now, a comedy drama by John Graham from 1991. It's set in a rest home for elderly actors, and its stars' combined ages at the time the recording was made was 308. It's one of only three radio plays that Jimmy Jewell ever recorded, and he's joined by Wendy Hiller, Michael Denison and Googie Withers, who died just last year. So now, to Rosewood Hall, where it's curtain up on murder, theft and romance.
Resting by John Graham, with Wendy Hiller as Edith, Googie Withers as Dorothy, Michael Denison as Anthony, and Jimmy Jewell as Bernard. Resting.
You're the new vicar. Do come in. Yes, I heard our other vicar had been transported or transformed or something. Please sit down. Transferred, that's the word. Well, you look very young, Mr. Lawrence, but then everyone seems to look young nowadays. Policemen, milkmen, and yes, clergymen too. Your predecessor came here to Rosewood Hall regularly to have a chat with us all. He used to say to me, Dorothy, he used to say, it's a pleasure and a privilege talking to you. But he never mentioned God. Well, you church people never do nowadays, do you? I suppose as far as old folks like us are concerned, talking about God might be rather too near the knuckle. Not that I consider myself old, or far from it, thank you very much. I came here to Rosewood Hall to rest, you see. But I haven't retired. Oh, no, no, no. Awful. Actors and actresses never retire. We're all just resting in this lovely house. If I were offered a part in a play tomorrow, I would jump at it. Anyway, as I said, I'm here to rest. But I can assure you, Mr. Lawrence, I have no intention of dying here. But when I say Rosewood Hall is a lovely house, it does leave a lot to be desired. Our rooms are very small, as you can see, and there's always a howling gale in the corridors, even in the summer. However, we all had champagne today. I had two glasses. Matron said to me, Dorothy, she said, Dorothy, have another. It'll do you good. Champagne is routine here when somebody dies. One of us residents. Matron opens the champagne and then peaches and cream at lunchtime. I believe the trustees started this champagne and peaches tradition. Matron says it's a nice gesture. I say it's bloody macabre. Oh, I'm sorry, Vicar, but that's how I feel about it. Quite macabre. But others may not share my view.
Hello. Sit down, please. Call me Bernard, Vicar. Oh, I'm not one of your lot, but it's good to see a new face. Oh, yes. Not too bad here, I suppose, but a lot of the residents, well, they do sort of look down on me. Oh, yes. Not because I'm knee-high to a jam pot, but because I was on the variety stage. The others here talk about their days at the Old Vic and the verse plays they did at the Arts Theatre. Verse plays, I said to Dorothy once. Verse plays? What a bundle of laugh in a verse play, I said. Well, Dorothy gave me that look of hers. Bernard, she said, the variety theatre is not the real theatre. Look, Dorothy, I said, the trouble with you is you never played Glasgow Empire on a Saturday night. It's not just hard work. It's hard labour. And I'm not joking, Vicar. But not to grumble, I mean, why grumble? We're all well looked after here. Matron, not a bad old crow. She's a trained nurse. You can always tell a nurse, but you can't tell her much. Well, we had champagne today. Wilfred this time, poor old Wilfred. His greatest claim to fame was that he worked during the war with Ivan Novella, dancing in an Ivan Novella musical. I said to him, you, Wilfred, a dancer? Well, was carrying a fair bit of weight. Ah, Bernard, he said to me. I was slim in those days, with wavy hair. And I was, well, rather pretty. Poor Wilfred. Still had wavy hair, but it wasn't the hair that God gave him. Wonder if they'll bury him in his toupee. I hope so. He'll be very upset if they don't. Oh, by the way, have you met Anthony in the room next door? Oh, you like him. Bright and breezy, I call him. Called Posh Fortune on wears blazers. Ho, 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 ho. One at a time, of course.
Sit you down, Padre. Welcome to Rosewood Hall. Good to see someone from the outside world. Anthony's the name, and please call me Anthony. But never, never Tony. After all, no one ever talked about Tony and Cleopatra, did they? My knees are giving me a bit of trouble today. Matron says it's only arthritis. Only, I said. If that's all it is, I'd gladly share it with you. Matron tells me I should walk about more to loosen up. But who wants to walk about in these dreary gardens? I'd go and walk round the drawing room, but Dorothy's always there searching her copy of the Times for the announcement of her CBE. No, too late now, Dorothy, old love. You're forgotten like the rest of us. Dorothy never married. She's got no relatives. But in my opinion, she's lucky. I married three times too often and have tons of relatives, and I don't want to have truck with any of them. Yes, Padre, we've all got to resign ourselves to the fact we're all forgotten here, but not gone. I'm certainly forgotten. I'll tell you how I know. Until I came here, I was a member of the Garrick Club. Splendid club for actors and lawyers, mostly. You know it? Yeah. Yes, all the actors there try to behave like lawyers, and all the legal gentlemen like actors. Well, I once heard two club members talking about me in the cloakroom there. One of them said, "Is Anthony Baker still alive?" And the other replied, "Well, he wasn't the last time I worked with him." Oh, yes, we could be a bitchy lot in this profession. But in a way, that's all part of the fun. Dorothy now, her tongue is 85% acid. But I think it's because she suffers from ingrowing virginity. I'm sorry, Padre, but it's true. And then there's little Edith. Have you met her yet? Edith. Yeah, she's a character.
Yes, I'm Edith. Edith Selby. Selby, yes. But aren't you a different clergyman? Oh, well, no matter, no matter. Do come in, Mr. Lawrence. Lawrence, do come in. Yes, no. Oh, please don't sit on my hats. I'll move them for you. Yes, the rooms are so small. It's difficult to keep them tidy. I'll offer you a biscuit in a moment, but please do sit down. Yes, I like having visitors. There aren't many these days, no. It's been very upsetting. Yes, one of our residents, Wilfred, died. Yes. Now, Mr. Lawrence, I want you to meet my friend Cyril. Cyril? Hmm? My little budgerigar. Yes. Oh, he was having a nap, I think. I can't, no, remember where he came from, but I am allowed to keep him in my room, although the rules clearly state no pets. But I think that only applies to cat and dog pets, yes. So many rules and regulations. I can't keep track of them all, no. Yeah, well, the only one I object to is the no smoking rule. Yes, no smoking in the bedroom. Yes, well, I'm rather fond of a cigarette, and that's a rule that I've broken more than once. Very naughty of me, isn't it? Yes, Matron said to me the last time, if you smoke in your bedroom just once more, Edith, you will be asked to leave. Expelled. Dorothy told Matron. Yes, she reported me. I played Juliet, you see, at Stratford-upon-Avon. Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, yes, and that's why Dorothy is jealous. Yes. Now, where was I? Yes. Oh, Wilfred. Wilfred. Yes, he died, you know. Yes. Matron says it was his heart, and so do all the others. Even the doctor said it was a heart attack. Yes, but we know better. Don't we, Cyril? You see, Vicar, Wilfred was poisoned. Yes, Wilfred was murdered. But I'm telling you this in confidence. Now, please, don't pass it on to a soul. Not yet. No, not yet.
Believe me, I am not complaining, matron. Life is much too short and precious to make trouble just for the sake of making trouble. But it's Edith again. No, 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 matron, not smoking this time, as far as I know. But Edith has been waking up in the middle of the night and talking to that damned bird of hers. I sleep badly enough as it is, as we're all aware, but this is really too much. She talks to that budgie at 3 o'clock in the morning and then recites speeches from Romeo and Juliet. Well, to be more accurate, it's Juliet and Juliet. I wouldn't mind, but it's the same old speech. And 3 o'clock in the morning is much too early to listen to Shakespeare. I'm only asking you to have a word with her, tactfully. Thank you, matron. I knew you'd help.
But I've got to talk to someone, matron. And little Cyril gets lonely during the night. Oh, by the way, I know about Wilfred. Oh, yes, I do. I know everything. Oh, no, I don't mean I know he's dead. I know more than that. Oh, yes, I know all the sordid details. But I don't want to talk about it. No, not yet, not yet, no. Oh, I played Juliet, you know, matron. And after one performance, I can't remember quite... No, I don't remember where it was. We were all lined up to meet the Duke of Windsor. Well, it was in the 30s, and he was the Prince of Wales then, of course. Yes, and he looked so boyish and so very charming. But I was surprised because he was so small. Neatly dressed, of course, but small. And very well groomed, yes. He became king, you know, and then he abdicated. Did you know that? Oh, yes, yes. He married that dreadful Mrs. Thompson.
Oh, it's you, Joycey. Come in. I'll sit here out of your way, Joyce. You can dust round me. Made me bed. Matron gave me the wood and the nails. Oh, well. That's an old gag, Joyce. Poor Joyce. Deaf as a post, but happy with it. Bit low this morning. Because of old Wilfred kicking bucket yesterday. Nearly midday, Joyce. Haven't had that phone call yet. Any minute now, though. Phone call important. Oh, never mind. Dorothy's a bit upset today. She's lost something. I said to her, your sanity. She wasn't very pleased.
Poor Wilfred. He was murdered, Cyril. Yes, his bedtime cocoa was poisoned. Oh, yes, yes, Cyril, it's true. The socialists did it. Oh, yes, they want to get rid of us all so that they can demolish Rosewood Hall and turn it into a supermarket. They're going to poison us all one by one. Yes, I know. But I have a plan. They won't get me. No, they won't poison me, Cyril. I pour my bedtime cocoa down the wash basin every night, don't I? I never liked cocoa anyway, whether it was poisoned or not.
Of course I've searched my room, matron. Every corner. Under the bed, under the cupboards even. It's a very valuable bracelet. It's gold. And it's of great sentimental value. Gladys gave it to me before the war. Gladys Cooper. Darling Gladys. We were in a play together and she gave me the bracelet on the last night. Now it's gone. Well, it's been stolen. There's a thief in Rosewood Hall, matron. A common thief. There's simply no point in putting a notice on the notice board. Some people here can barely read. Others can't even see the notice board. I insist that the police be called in, matron. I'm sorry, but if you don't call the police, I will. I'm sorry.
Hello? Yes, this is Bernard speaking. No, Desmond, you haven't disturbed me. There's not much for me to do here except sit and think. Sometimes I just sit. I was expecting your call. What? It's all fixed? Oh, that's fine, Desmond. I'm very pleased to hear it. What? First class post. Fine. You're grateful? Come on, Desmond. I'm the one who's grateful.
Well, that's it then, Marion. Rosewood Hall. This is what your amorous Antony has descended to. It's wonderful to see you again, old girl. You look lovely. I'm sorry, but that's the only word that comes to mind.
That woman has been visiting Antony a lot recently, Cyril. Why? Oh, she's not a relative. I asked Matron. No, she's not one of his ex-wives. I asked Antony himself. He wasn't pleased. Now, they've walked round the garden 3 times now.
It's good of you to take time to come and visit me yet again, Mary. Let's sit down, shall we? By the pond. Yes, I'm glad you've come back into my life, my dear. I should have married you. My trouble has always been in investing wisely and marrying foolishly. But my investments are irrelevant now. My wife's got the lot. All 3 of the darlings. But I've had a fair old life, really. Not to give up, that's the thing. Life is 98% anticipation. Anticipation.
Cyril, of course. I know who that woman with Antony is. She's one of the socialists. She's come here to size us all up. She's standing at the pond with Antony now. Oh, very odd. Very disturbing. Oh, no, she won't harm us, Cyril. No, I've worked it all out. We're going to be safe. Safe, yes, safe. You and I. Now, we mustn't worry any more.
Matron thinks that I've just mislaid the bracelet. But I don't mislay things, officer. Some of the residents here don't know whether it's Wembley or Thursday, but I assure you I have all my wits about me. And I know my gold bracelet has been stolen. They won't have locks on the doors, you see. It's too absurd. Just because someone tried to commit suicide years ago and he'd locked the door of his room. As it happened, he was all right. Quite sad, in a way. He was an actor, of course, Clive, someone or another. He'd heard that dandelion leaves were poisonous, and when they broke into his room, they found him eating dandelion sandwiches. Anyway, I mustn't digress. Edith, in the room next door, is terribly confused, so I'm sure she hasn't the wit to steal a gold bracelet, tiresome as she is. Well, then there's Joyce. The deaf girl from the village who comes in to clean, but she's been here for years, is completely trustworthy, as well as being a recent Roman Catholic convert. Oh, I'm sure she didn't do it. Then, of course, there's Bernard. Yes, well, Bernard and I don't really get on. He's rather VC&C, as my late father used to say. VC&C, vulgar, cheap and common. Bernard was on the variety stage. It was not the same thing as a legitimate theatre, not by a long chalk. If you talk to Bernard about the West End, he thinks you're talking about Swan and Edgar's, which is now closed, incidentally. I said to Matron, if you start letting variety people in here, where will it end? We'll be having circus acrobats here next. Too frightful.
You're a policeman. Well, officer, between ourselves, I don't believe Dorothy ever had a gold bracelet. I've never seen her wearing one. She has a string of pearls which she flaunts around at Christmas time, but they're not real. No, I'm sure of that. But never mind about that bracelet nonsense. I've got something much more important to tell you, officer. Yes, now I want you to listen very, very carefully. One of our residents, Wilfred, has just died. He was, and I'm being perfectly blunt, he was murdered. Yes. Not only was he murdered, but to put it another way, he was poisoned. Yes, I knew that would surprise you. It surprised me. He was poisoned by the socialists, you see. The socialists are going to poison us all in order to take possession of this house. Yes, they'll demolish it and turn it into a supermarket. And another thing. A few weeks ago, there was a man here with a measuring tape. I asked Matron what he was doing, and she said he was estimating for a new stair carpet. Well, that didn't convince me for half a second. I just knew he was a socialist architect or surveyor, probably both. And one of our other residents, Anthony, has been having visitations. No, visits. From a woman. She must be one of those awful socialists, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if Anthony were to find himself drowned in that pond one day soon. Now, please, will you tell your superiors all that I've said? I'd be most grateful. Yes, most grateful. Yes. Oh, may I press you to a cigarette? They're not a fire hazard during the day. Somebody told me.
So, missing bracelet, eh? Well, I know nothing about it, officer. That reminds me of the helicopter story. Know it, eh? The lady shoplifter who was arrested by the store detective and she didn't know the helicopter. Oh, well, go back to sick now. I've never seen Dorothy wearing a gold bracelet. To tell you the truth, officer, she's a real old snobbish Dorothy. She always looks at me as if she's about to give me a tip, like rest of them. She lives in past. Now, me, I'm different. I'm not a has-been who'd been put out to grass. Oh, dear me, no. I've been asked to play a part in a new television series. New soap opera about a hospital. And if it's a success, I'll be able to move out of this mortuary. Oh, why would I want Dorothy's bracelet?
I tell you this much, I haven't been interviewed by a policeman since the 1950s. I was exceeding the speed limit on the Great North Road. One of my ex-wives was after me. And not for my body, for my money. No, I'm afraid I can't help you. I don't know anything about Dorothy's necklace or bracelet or whatever it is. Sorry, old son. Dorothy thinks she's the star of Rosewood Hall. She's got ideas au dessus de sa gare, oh boy. Above her station. Her bracelet will turn up, mark my words. The trouble with this place is we've all been together too long. We've nothing to say to each other anymore. It's like being in a rehearsal room for years without a show to do at the end of it. The end of it is the final curtain. Those of us who are left get a glass of champagne. When I take my first sip, I wonder with a little chill who'll be next. I have a second glass, and I know it's going to be someone else. A third glass, and I don't even care.
The socialists won't get us, Cyril. No, I've worked it out all very carefully. We'll go to London, and we'll stay with Raymond. Yes. Oh, now you don't know Raymond. No, he was that nice boy with white teeth. He was acting in a musical at Drury Lane Theatre when I first met him. Oh, years ago, yes. No, I haven't heard from him for a long time, but he's got a lovely flat with lots and lots of spare room. I'll start packing in the morning. Yes, packing in the morning, yes. But I suppose it's morning now. Well, where's my clock? Oh, yes, in front of me. Oh, it's just after 4:10. Oh, silly me.
Please, do you have something to say to the others? Please,
I'm sorry, Dorothy, I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
California. Those were the days, Marion. Seems like another world now. I never told my then wife about you when I came home from Hollywood. Never told her you and I were accepted as a couple out there. And we were a couple of lusty youngsters, weren't we? Young Anthony and the glamorous Marion. You're still so beautiful, but for me, I'm an arthritic ex-actor hurtling towards my 80s. These days, my back goes out more often than I do.
No, Major, I assure you, the police are not remotely interested in my missing bracelet. It's quite disgraceful, and if I had time, I'd write to someone about it. They're far too busy with parking offences and chasing lager lads. And another thing, I'm not complaining, but what are we to do about Edith? Yes, Matron Edith. She woke me up again at 4 o'clock in the morning talking to that unhygienic budgerigar. In the end, I had to go into her room and insist she kept quiet. She said she was packing. Where on earth does she imagine she's going to? Where?
Hello? Theatre Royal, Drury Lane? Oh, yes. Yes, you can help me. No, I don't want tickets, thank you. No, I'm trying to trace a friend of mine called Raymond. What? Oh, no. He's not on your staff. He's more of a singer and dancer. Yes, I want to speak to him urgently before the socialists poison me. What? Yes, that is exactly what I said. But between ourselves, I always pour the cocoa down the wash basin. And, hello? Hello, are you there? Oh, we've been cut off, I think.
Normally, I don't ever come into the lounge, Anthony. But after lunch, I like it quite half hour here. It helps the digestion. All the others skipping in their rooms, it's peaceful here at this time. So, as I was saying, Anthony, my script will be arriving tomorrow. The series is called City Hospital, and the director is a friend of mine, Desmond. I knew him when he was a young stage manager. He wrote to me and said, glad I've tracked you down, Bernard. I hope you haven't retired. I rang him up at home, I did. Retired, I said, you must be joking. Oh, I'm having a little rest here, I grant you. But I'm as good as ever. Desmond said he'd send me the script, and if I wanted to play the part, I was more than welcome. Desmond, I said, it's going to be a new lease of life for me. So to tell you the truth, I've never fitted in here, Anthony. Anthony? Where's he gone? He didn't hear a word I said. Typical in this place.
No, no, Matron, don't be alarmed. I haven't come to complain about the food, although the hottest item in today's lunch was the jelly. You'll be amazed to hear, Matron, that I'm leaving. Getting married. Again. Marion's a widow and has a cottage near Godalming. Oh, I know neither of us is in the first flush of youth. In my case, I'm no longer in the last flush of middle age. But we love each other. And Marion says she's willing to put up with me if I prune her roses and help with the washing up. An offer I couldn't refuse. Although I know nothing about roses, and even less, thank God, about washing up. The main thing is, I'm still breathing. By the way, how is Edith? I heard you had to send for the doctor.
But there's nothing the matter with me, Doctor. Nothing. I don't know why Matron put me to bed and sent for you. No, it was just a dizzy spell. And I think it was the haddock I had at lunchtime. I don't know what they put in the fish nowadays. Oh, but of course, the fish. Oh, Doctor, it's obvious. They poisoned the fish. Yes, the socialists did it. I thought it would be Anthony, pushed into the goldfish pond. Oh, but it's me. But what's this? What's Dr. Pills? Well, then they're not drugs. Are they? Are they, Doctor? Oh, very well, then. Oh, no, I'll take them, but just two. Only two. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I wrote to Buckingham Palace, you know, to the Queen some time ago, and I told her all about the socialists. I also mentioned that I played Juliet. Well, I added it as a postscript just to cheer her up. She has such a hard life, poor girl. Well, I shall be safe with Raymond up in London. Yes. He'll take me away early in the morning before it's light. Yes, or in the evening before it's dark. Yes, yes, oh, dear me, I didn't offer you a biscuit, did I, Doctor? No, where's the tin? Yes, the tin's on the mantelpiece, I think. Yes, beside my shoes.
No, I'm not feeling ill, Matron. Not exactly. It's just that my nerves are in shreds. I'm always simply riddled with nerves when anything unpleasant happens. I can't sleep. I lie awake here, wondering where my bracelet is. And now Edith's being ill. I can't sleep because she's not banging about in her room all night. The silence is so depressing. Oh, I know Edith and I don't really hit it off, but I wouldn't want anything to happen to her. She can be quite sweet at times. Last Christmas she gave me two handkerchiefs. Small ones. I mean, I'm sure she's not really ill. A touch of indigestion, probably. If Edith has taken my bracelet, I'm sure it was a mistake. It was just a dizzy spell, wasn't it? Wasn't it, Matron?
Morning, Joyce. Ah, post arrived. Now, let me see. Yes, this is it, my script at last. My script. Oh, Joyce, this envelope. It's my passport to the outside world.
Things are looking up for both of us, Bernard, old boy. You're about to be launched into a new television career, and I'm getting married again. For the fourth time. Yeah. And I'll be the first to say that's nothing to be proud of. But this one will be the last and most successful. My first three were unmitigated disasters, old son. My first wife, who shall be nameless, had a fling with the hotel manager on our honeymoon, would you believe? He wore a navy blue suit and brown shoes. I think that offended me more than anything. My second wife decided to become a lesbian. Ran off with a spotty girl in Boots. Boots the chemist's, I mean. That didn't suit at all. As far as women are concerned, with me, it's straight up and down the wicket with no fancy drives to cover. My third wife, that bitch in Wiltshire, she's still alive, bless her. Wears twin sets and pearls and carries sensible handbags and is married to a wealthy landowner who breeds pigs. But married, she's different. I love her. After the wedding, we'll have a party. And we'll invite you, Bernard, if you can get away from your TV rehearsals. Bernard, what's the matter? Have I said something? I've just been droning on and on, but there's no need to... There's no need for tears. What have I said? If I've upset you, then I'm sorry.
Yes, Desmond. The script has arrived, and that's why I'm calling you. It's a diabolical liberty, Desmond. I've read through the script twice. I've got no lines. I just lie in a hospital bed for two scenes, and in the third scene, I snuffed it. It's an insult, Desmond. And I don't want to do it. You can take your series, have the script, and you can... What? You thought you were doing me a favour? Oh, listen, Desmond, I don't need favours. I may be living in Rosewood Hall, but I've got lots of irons in the fire. I've got plenty of scripts to consider, up in my room. There's a film and a stage play I might do, and... What? You didn't realise? Well, you realise it now, don't you, Desmond? I'm not a bit part player. I don't play non-speaking dead bodies. What? No, I'm sorry, I won't reconsider. Goodbye, Desmond. I'm glad you're doing so well too, Desmond.
Matron, naturally I'm pleased that Edith has made a good recovery, but I don't think that she should go to Wilfrid's funeral. It'll be much too much for her. She was moving about in her room all last night again. I knocked on the wall, but she just kept saying, come in. This is a residential home, not a clinic for the mentally disturbed. Quite frankly, Matron, I think she'd be much happier somewhere else. Why can't she be transferred to somewhere more suitable, so that she can be with her own kind and given tranquilizers? Mind you, she's always been difficult and so conceited, just because she once played Juliet. I remember one of the critics said she performed like a demented Shetland pony. Anyway, I'll wear black for Wilfred's funeral, with white accessories. It's no call to be too gloomy. I'd have worn my bracelet, for there's simply no hope of that.
Hello? Hello? Raymond? Oh, at last. Yes, this is Edith speaking. Now, I'm all packed, yes, and I'm ready. And I want you to come and take me up to London in your motor car. I'm going to Wilfred's funeral tomorrow, but if you can collect me on Thursday night, I'd be most grateful. I'll wait in the garden. Yes, hello? Pizza? What?
Well, Marion, Wilfred's funeral was, to put it mildly, a fiasco. Matron took a few of us in her car up to town to the crematorium, but we got held up in the traffic and arrived late, very. We were about to go into the chapel when Dorothy said she'd left her spectacles in the car. She said she didn't really need them, but if there was a hymn sheet for Wilfred's service, the least she could do was to see it. By the time my knees loosened up and Dorothy's spectacles had been found and Edith, who kept wandering off, was brought back, we were even later for the service. We reached the chapel and found seats in a pew at the back. I looked around and saw, well, quite a crowd. A full house, you might say. We didn't know Wilfred had so many friends. Suddenly I heard the clergyman say, she spent many years of devoted service to the Girl Guide movement. Odd, I thought. Wilfred never mentioned that part of his career. Matron was puzzled, so were Dorothy and Bernard. Edith, well, she was just eating a biscuit. Then I realized we were in the wrong chapel. We later found out there were three chapels at the crematorium. So we stood up again and crept out quietly into the sunshine. Matron was furious. She blamed Dorothy, the traffic, the crematorium, and the government. Dorothy blamed Matron, the deceased Wilfred, and me. When we got to the other chapel, the right one, we were too late. Wilfred's service had finished. When we got back here, Matron had to lie down for a couple of hours in a darkened room. Oh, yes, Marion, a fiasco. But it was an outing. What I'm really looking forward to is my next outing. Yes, ours, to the registrar. You're marrying an aging ham, Marion. And I promise you this. With you, I'll never be too old to feel younger.
Well, Matron, yes, of course it's my bracelet. The undertaker returned it with Wilfred's things. The undertaker? So Wilfred took it and was wearing it. Well, that sort of thing doesn't worry me. It doesn't amount to a row of beans in the theatre. He just fancied it in his peculiar way and borrowed it for a while. Gladys wouldn't have minded. Gladys Cooper, you know, she gave it to me. Gladys never knew her lines in that play. Somerset Maugham wrote it. Came to the first night. Gladys made it all up as she went along. Somerset Maugham said he enjoyed it very much and wished he'd written it. Very caustic. Very pithy, I thought. Why didn't Wilfred just ask? I'd have given it to him. Funny thing is, doesn't seem to matter now. Incidentally, Matron, I thought Edith's hat was most unsuitable for the funeral. Most unsuitable.
Oh, it's so cold out here, Cyril. Oh, so cold. No sign of young Raymond. But any minute now, yes. But of course, Raymond won't be so young anymore. No,
He was the same age as me, Cyril. So cold.
Oh, hello? Oh, Deadman? It's me, Bernard. Good morning. Hope it's not too early, but I've been having second thoughts, Desmond. Just a minute. They're carrying one of the old girls, taking her in from the garden. Hello? Yeah, well, as I was saying, Desmond, I've had second thoughts about your script.
Raymond? Is that you, Raymond? Oh, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come and take me away. Oh, it's not Raymond. It's Mr. Lawrence, isn't it? Yes, the nice vicar. Yes. Friar Lawrence. What if it be a poison which the friar subtly hath ministered to have me dead? Oh, doctor. Oh, you're here too. But I'm not ill, doctor. No, I'm just tired. I'm so very tired. As I play Juliet, I went with the play to Cairo. We acted the whole thing in the king's palace there. The king wanted to buy me. Yes, to buy me. It's true. Oh, it has been such fun. Oh, such fun.
I'm just a little sleepy, matron, that's all. You gave me 2 glasses of champagne, you know. Well, it was for Edith. Silly Edith. God knows why she'd been sitting in the garden all night. I'll miss her. I'll miss Edith dreadfully. But I'll look after the budgie, matron. I'll be company for him. And I have the bracelet again, my gold bracelet. But you know, I don't believe it's real gold. Doesn't matter, though, does it? Well, did I ever show you this photo of my father? He was a soldier. Well, not just a soldier, a major. Daddy, I want to be an actress. An actress? A profession. An obsession. And a life. But is that all there is? I can tell you this, matron. I've no intention of dying here. Anthony's wedding next month. I've had an invitation, so I'll have to go. Registry office, well, naturally. Couldn't be a church affair, not with his track record. The new resident has moved into Edith's room, I believe. She knew Gladys Cooper, too. Not well, of course. We never acted in a play with her, but we'll have something to talk about. But she coughs. If she coughs in the night, I'll have to knock on the wall. Yes, I'll have to be very firm, right from the start. Yes. I'll look forward to it. I'll enjoy that. Oh, no. The wedding, I mean. Anthony's wedding. Cyril. A most unsuitable name for a bird. I'll soon change that. Yes. Lots to look forward to.
In Resting by John Graham, Wendy Hiller played Edith, Googie Withers, Dorothy, Michael Dennison, Anthony, and Jimmy Jewell, Bernard. The play was directed by Glyn Dearman.